it's time for another episode of The Little Shows That Couldn't. You can tell by that music that we are now watching Stella. I'm your host, Brett Medill. With me, as always, co-host Sean Stewart.
Hey, yay! More yays!
Yeah, yays all around. You know, there's not going to be a shortage of yay around here
That's true.
That we are watching Stella. Stella is from 2005, happened on Comedy Central. There was a whole series of shorts from beforehand. We talked about it in the intro episode.
We sure did. Let's get into the episode. How about
Stella?
Sorry.
Stella's one of our favorites. Let's just mention that again, and
we'll say it about 100 times.
Boom, boom, boom. This is the pilot. The plot of this pilot, is that the guys live upstairs with a bunch of old maids, and they get evicted. So the guys get evicted. They have to deal with homelessness briefly. They have to find a new place to live. That's it. That's the plot of the episode. The plot descriptions are going to be very, very brief.
Yeah,
Stella.
There's not a lot of plot going on in Stella.
No, it's a
mostly
comedy.
About the jokes.
It's a comedy that doesn't bother
not even jokes.
It doesn't bother a lot with character or situation. It's not a lot of character based jokes, not a lot of plot based jokes. It's a lot of just jokes.
And pretty much.
And they're nonstop, and it's great.
Pretty much.
And it starts. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just gonna say, let's get into this cold opening.
Yeah.
Brett, what do you like? Do you like funk rock, or funk rock?
You know, for me, it's usually a toss-up between funk rock and funk rock.
Really?
But, I think I like funk rock best.
Okay.
And you know what? The guys, I think you'd find come to agree with me.
Okay. That's a solid point.
But yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, the show starts off.
This is what we're talking about, yeah.
Right off the top with one of these language jokes. One of their. And then the next joke that they go to after the cold open is another language joke about OLD versus AULD.
Right.
So, like, right off the top, like, they establish kind of what the comedic style is of this show in a lot of ways.
It's intelligent but stupid at the same time. I want to talk about that title screen, the opening credits. It
sure.
looks like whoever did it took like maybe 3 hours maximum out of their morning and just was like, good enough, ship it to Stella.
Well, I think that we can be assured from watching the series that it wasn't a show with a huge budget.
I mean, they had decent looking cameras at least.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't shot poorly.
Yeah.
But the things that
the sets are great.
But like all of the practical effects are like the kind of practical effects that you or I would do. You know what I mean?
I suppose, yeah, that's true.
I mean, and that I'm sure was a choice stylistically, but it was also probably kind of a budget necessity too. You know,
for sure.
It's not like they would have had the budget to make the surgery at the end of the first episode look a lot like they could have made that look better than they did.
I suppose.
Obviously. They obviously could have made that look better than they did.
Could they?
But we're jumping ahead.
Well, yeah, we're jumping way far ahead.
So it starts with a couple of language jokes. And like I say, we really kind of. I mean, we can talk about it more towards the end of the episode, kind of how everything kind of gets set up by these first two episodes. But. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get the language jokes off the hop, and it's just like, what the hell is these guys' deal? You know, like, it's kind of impenetrable because these guys, they don't have a deal.
Well, they're annoying roommates for the girls.
But that's it.
And that's pretty much it. They don't work, we assume. They don't have any extracurricular activities that we know of or anything. We don't know anything about these people. We just know that they're annoying. And that Mr. Mueller wants them out.
And then they do a tableau, you know,
right.
And stuff. So it's like, okay, so these guys are overeducated assholes. Like
pretty much.
Michael Ian Black
like
thinks
Frasier
that all German Michael Ian Black thinks all Germans are Nazis.
Right.
And then they leech into the absurdity starts right off the hop here too, because Mr. Mueller gets sent off with the rug, and he goes and gets it.
Right.
He goes and gets it, and then when he comes back and sets the rug down, of course, when he peels up the corner, the key is there.
The key is there.
Which is a joke that you can see coming, but it's still pays off and is good.
It's great because he's waiting in line at the laundromat and he has to pay the fee.
He's got to pay for it.
It's great.
Yeah, just to get that key. Because even though Michael Ian Black opens the door to give him the ticket.
Right, yeah, exactly.
To go and get the rug to get
it's
the
like,
key.
Okay, just take this and we'll silly. Be sitting in this tablet.
And then Michael Ian Black immediately starts pouring tea tree oil on his socks. And I love it.
And Michael Showalter gives him a deep tissue massage.
They start mooding the room.
David Wayne sets the mood with some sweet grass, like a smudge stick. And this is another thing I like about Stella. They'll do jokes that you have to like really watch to observe. Like when Dave is passing that smudgy around, and then Michael Showalter, one of the Michaels, is dimming the light. Mm-hmm. You see him pass it off to someone.
Yeah,
there's nobody nobody else has been established to be in this scene. And it's just, it's great.
Just like a PA on the edge of the frame is just being handed things.
Exactly.
And we're just like, exactly. There's,
that's one thing I really like about Stella.
The visual stuff where they kind of, they play with it, where they, where they peel back the curtain that it's a television show kind of in little ways, but it's always, and I don't remember if we talked about this in the pre-episode, probably did, but again, just to hammer this home, Stella is the kind of stupidity that could only be engineered by people who know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah,
like
for
it's
sure.
smart
totally.
Stupidity.
Yeah, it's designed to fail.
Which is so like it's so specifically weird, and it like we love it, and we know that there's an audience for this show, and people love it, and it was a precursor to a lot of other shows that were kind of live action cartoons that have been successful, like. Children's Hospital, Always Sunny,
right.
NTSF, SDSUV, like
for sure.
A lot of these other shows that are kind of similar in a lot of ways to Stella, comedically
at least.
A little
bit, yeah. I mean, they have some of the same people working on it, so.
That's true as well.
It's David Wayne was director of Children's Hospital.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you can kind of see
well,
that.
Well, you can just IMDb shit.
Yeah.
Don't listen to us anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You can So Mr. Mueller kicks them out, and they have to live life on the streets.
And they get evicted immediately. It's not like you're evicted at the end of the month or the end of 2 months. You're out now!
Do it now! And there's a little bit of foreshadowing when he grabs his chest, mm-hmm. because Mr. Mueller might have some heart conditions.
Mr. Mueller, bad ticker. Bad ticker!
So the guys spend their time dividing beans. And
they become cartoon hobos immediately.
Yeah, like overnight, essentially.
Yeah. And then they split a bean, of course.
They split a bean with their various sauces.
Do. And they encounter the girls while they're, you know, brushing their teeth in a hydrant. And the girls are the worst. Yeah. Like, at the beginning of the episode, you're like, okay, maybe they have a complaint. They're being called old maids. They're being abused. But then when they see the guys at the hydrant, they're awful.
Right. They don't care at all. They're just assholes.
It's ruining my buzz. Terrible. Everyone on all the shows that we like are the worst.
Yeah, that's starting to become a trend, isn't it?
So the guys go to look at a co-op, and the woman that shows them the place. I mean, David introduces by making a fart sound.
Of course.
Michael Ian Black accuses Sho of being a crybaby. They have to go and deal with their stuff on the terrace because Mike Sho is a crybaby.
Yep.
And, like, this is the scene that...
And David Wayne makes out with the...
This is the only scene that makes any differentiation between these three characters. Michael Ian... Like, they're all assholes, but Michael Ian Black is the mo. He's the biggest prick of the three.
Right.
David Wayne is some sort of creepy seducer.
Right.
Like Harpo Marx or something. And Mike Sho is a crybaby.
And he's just a total crybaby.
And that's, like, that's apparently what's going on here. But that's the only way we have of kind of telling the difference between these three suited characters.
Yep.
And, David kind of just seduces this woman through... proximity and camera work.
Yeah.
Mostly through camera work, it seems
pretty much camera work. Dramatic
cinematography, really.
Dramatic swinging of
really
the camera.
Dampens panties, you know.
Definitely. You better believe it.
Oh, you see those sliding shots? Mm.
Yeah. Totally.
It really drenches the drawers.
So the interview for the apartment is going south. When they
because they have to be approved by the co-op board,
of course,
which includes the actor who played God on Sarah Silverman Program,
Justin Lord.
Yeah,
is that because we see him in other episodes too?
Yeah,
he's good. That becomes a little bit of a Shyamalan twist at the end of this season.
And
as we'll get to.
So they do their pitch for the co-op board, and
well, they're cool guys.
Yeah. So how do they show that they're cool?
Well, they have an overhead projector that says they're cool guys and why you should approve them. And they also wear skunk tails.
Of course, they wear skunk tails.
Because, well, yeah, because were they supposed to be skunk people or just guys wearing skunk tails? That I can't remember if that was established.
They're skunk people.
Skunk people.
They're skunk people.
My bad.
And so they were kind of ahead of the furry game, the old furry tip.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm sure there were furries before Stella.
So are the Stella guys furries?
I don't think, maybe like part furries.
Yeah.
Because they had like tails, not like a whole suit.
Well, it doesn't matter. The co-op board goes
really
for
matter.
The tails. Like they love them.
They like the tails.
There's a dance sequence.
And yeah, so then Michael and David bust out their moves,
which obviously isn't them. We have one of the things that Stella does is obvious stunt replacements and obvious bad practical effects.
Well, it was kind of subtle at first. Like before, it's like, okay, they're spinning. Okay, that doesn't look like them. And then it's so obviously not them because they're showing the dancers in the camera.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the part where it's like, okay, now.
Oh,
that's when you can laugh because it's like, right. Oh, they're purposely not hiding it.
Right, exactly.
It's not just, oh, this is bad. It's like, no, that is a joke.
Yeah.
Like, this is the part where we wink at you so hard that you can't ignore that it's a joke.
Right.
Just in case it wasn't clear, Here are their faces
plainly
at the camera.
Hey, remember when you kind of saw hair differently? Well, now it's totally not
us. Look at these people.
And then they got the apartment. Yay!
It's going to be $3 million.
Ooh. We don't have this money.
Oh, and then we get that joke that Mike Show delivers so expertly. And then we hear it again and again. So then they don't have the money, so they need to find a new place. They find their old place. But how are they going to get their old place back, Sean?
I don't. Well, you know what?
The answer
Maybe David
to that,
Wayne.
The answer to that is the answer that they go to solve many of their problems over the years, which
disguises.
Disguises. Specifically,
David's buddy Gary Meadows.
Who supplies fake mustaches.
And apparently that's all it takes.
And
to,
Michael Ian
disguise
Black,
themselves.
Michael Ian Black wears a blonde mustache in that scene.
Yep.
No one asks any questions
for
reasons. When they present themselves as cartoon business tycoons and Michael Ian Black wears a blonde mustache. Like, they're basically like they come in basically dressed as Dan Backslide from one of my old favorite Warner Brothers cartoons. Like, driving cap, driving gloves, driving goggles. Like, they, like, excuse me, my cartoon roundabout seems to have broken. My gold plated roundabout seems to have stopped outside of this building. Can I live here now? Like, it's basically the tone of the scene.
Pretty much.
And they're, of course, welcomed with open arms.
Yep. And even the girls come and greet the new accountant, business tycoons.
Nosy bee stings.
Rashida Jones is the only, well, she's, this is the only episode she's in.
Yeah.
So.
Say, enjoy her as long
enjoy
as that
Enjoy her while
lasts,
you can.
Because it's just bitch face after bitch
it's
face
Samantha
after
Buck
this.
After that.
And, you know, but these guys, I would question which business tycoons require roommates. But,
rich business tycoons? They got business to do, okay?
When it's revealed that, of course, that these guys, the mustaches don't last forever.
The mustaches
There's only so much celebrating that a fake mustache can handle.
It's very true.
They didn't spirit gum these mustaches to their faces properly, or they would have held. Let me tell you, they would have held.
Oh, yeah, totally. Spirit gum holds like crazy, yo.
It sure does. And so, of course, upon that reveal, it shocks Don Mueller. He has a heart attack.
Snap. And it actually cuts to Heidi Neurotter screaming. Originally, they had her audioed as screaming rape, but I guess they edited it for good reasons. So luckily, that didn't get aired, but that's in the extras on the DVD. So,
yeah. Yeah, so it's probably a good thing that they
changed good
the line there to just screaming.
Because, yeah, you don't really...
She didn't need to scream rape because a guy has a heart attack.
Yeah. So they proceed to do open heart surgery on him with a butter knife.
Yeah, butter knife open heart surgery. opportunity for some more bad practical effects. Yep. There's circuit boards in Dawn. At one point, one of the guys takes like a soup ladle full of blood yep. out of him and then pours it back on like he's basting Dawn's heart.
Yep. David realizes he was in love.
Yeah, of course, David has to go and run through the rain and then run into a hallway where it's also raining
so that he can
try and steal Edward Norton's wife, which he fails to do.
And yeah, deservedly so. I mean, Edward Norton. He's got it going on.
He's an actor or something.
And he's acting and stuff.
People like him, I guess. So David gets back and immediately just like jumps in with his hands.
Yeah.
It's like they're operating with barbecue tongs and barbecue David tongs just like goes in wrist deep with his hands.
Yeah.
And guess what? Hate to spoiler alert, Don Mueller doesn't survive this surgery.
It looked promising there, but it was real touch and go. And yeah, he's going to pull through.
He's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's dead. But it turns out he was a Nazi war criminal, so it's all good.
Don't worry, we've got a Deus Ex Machina for you at the end. A guy comes in. That guy was Joseph Mengele.
Right.
So it was a brutal and ironic murder. Of his horrible life.
Right.
So the guys get to end the episode as heroes.
And they get their rent paid for? For 3 months. Holy crap.
3 whole months.
That is great.
Even though they look like they clearly all have trust funds.
They look and behave as though they're
wielding massive trust funds.
Just the richest pieces of shit.
Like, the only thing I can tell is it's like that these guys, they're just brazenly, aggressively weird and absurd and just disregarding society. And you know what? Their behavior's accepted because they're wearing suits.
Exactly.
And I think that's a poignant statement.
That's a lesson in life. Wear suits and be an asshole.
Wear a suit and you can do whatever you want and everyone will just take it.
It's true. It's really true.
Hillary Clinton knows.
Yep.
Just picking a powerful person who knows how to wear a suit.
Well, yeah.
You think Hillary Clinton doesn't wear a suit? Hillary Clinton wears a suit.
Hillary Clinton wears a suit to bed. She's that determined with a suit.
I've heard that.
So have I. That's why I said it.
That's why she's running for president.
Yeah. Is she running for president? Really?
Well, I mean, she's obviously running for president.
She totally should.
I don't know if she has said that she's running for president.
Look, we just got off a black president. Let's go straight into a woman president. Let's show how progressive.
But let's
you
not
are,
go crazy with a black
let's
woman
get too
president.
let's pump the brakes there.
Let's dial this back. Let's bring it back. Let's have a white woman
test that out. Test the waters
before we start jumping to like a Chinese lady or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little from call. Let's test from each spot in the buffet at once before we start mixing them all together, Anthony Anderson Blackish style.
Yeah. Like a big mountain of culture.
Culture mountain.
Culture mountain.
This is such a strange show. That's pretty much the pilot. That's the first episode.
Should we jump right into campaign or should we do MVPs?
No, we're going to jump into campaign.
Okay, let's jump into campaign.
Let's do this. Episode 2, campaign. Stella. In this episode, the Michael Ian Black runs for resident board president of their apartment building, and the two guys kind of have a falling out with David through the course of that campaign, and it leads to things.
A little bit.
David gets swayed by the other side. Yeah, so I guess, I mean, this one, we can jump right into it. I mean, they start off by just being horrible.
Well, they realize they haven't had any fun.
Well, of course
not.
For,
like, ever. No. They've been busy, you know, cleaning the gutters and...
It's been days since they had fun, Sean.
It's been a couple days. All they do is eat breakfast and do one single task every day. That's so tiring.
It's really not an empty life.
It's not, but I mean, I wouldn't really consider that tiring.
So they go skateboarding.
So they decide to go skateboarding and do other various fun things, like have a laundry fight.
The laundry fight, I mean, hey, sometimes, you know, they're just chaotically ignoring basic human decency.
A little bit.
Or having any sense of empathy at all. So, as much as I might want to rag on the girls or something for being terrible. These guys are pretty awful. I mean, they're awful.
I mean, that's, yeah, it's obvious that they only care about themselves.
Yeah.
Individually.
I mean, like, sure. Does Mike Show care if you see him land his kickflip? Yeah, he does. He wants to see you land his kickflip.
But he doesn't care if you, like, break your arm or something.
No. He doesn't care if he throws your wet drawers all over the laundry room, mixing them in with everybody else's.
Right. Right. So, yeah, Bob is putting the kibosh on all their fun because that's what he does. He's the resident board president.
So the guys all become depressed. They go to Mope Town.
They get into quite a funk.
Muh.
Even the girls take notice.
Yeah.
Rashida Jones now replaced by Samantha Buck.
And what's the biggest complaint about them when they end that conversation with the girls?
Well, they smell like chicken nuggets and that they're ruining their buzz.
You smell like chicken nuggets. And then what happens? The next scene opens. They sit down in the apartment and they're angrily pulling chicken nuggets out of their suit pockets. Yeah.
And just all the dipping sauces, all the trimmings really of chicken nuggets.
They are chicken nuggeting to the max.
They are livid and just full of chicken nuggets. They're not saying anything. They're talking, but they're not saying a goddamn thing.
There is no content to this scene. It is just crushing chicken nuggets.
And so they decide to go to the meeting.
You know, you could accuse a lot of scenes of this show where everyone does a lot of talking without actually saying anything.
Right.
Over and over and over again.
That's true. There's a lot of that going on.
Michael and Michael have an entire podcast where that is the theme. Two guys talking and talking without saying anything.
Oh, God,
the whole point is that they don't say anything. That's the joke.
They discuss topics up to 85%, I believe.
The joke is that they discuss a topic without saying anything meaningful about it at all. How superficial can we make this is like a challenge that those guys seem to take very seriously, which I appreciate, honestly.
It's great.
When you take superficiality to such an extreme, it's like, okay,
for sure.
All right. I can appreciate a joke that's when it's taken that far.
Yeah.
So, okay. They crush chicken nuggets and then they crash the resident board meeting.
Yep. And Michaeline Black decides to run. It is now a two-man race.
Yeah. Bob can stick it.
Bob can stick it. He could stick his rules up his craw, like they probably plan to do when they win the election.
Yeah, so then the show immediately turns into the West Wing.
Yep.
With walk and talks and everything, Sorkin style.
Around the corners.
Yeah, yep. Around the corner. Smooth camera work in that tiny little hallway, I thought.
Not bad.
I took note of that. And... So immediately they get into the apartment. It's like, well, I'm gonna need a campaign manager.
David
convinces Mike Black that he's gonna need a campaign manager. So Mike Black immediately offers the position to Mike Show.
Right.
And then and points out to David that of course he can have the extremely important job of intern.
Well, seriously, it's a really important job. I mean,
of course.
Like, I'd be intern if
these
I
guys.
Give a chance.
Two of them will turn on the other one. Well, Mike
so
and
quickly.
Mike and Michael
Mike
turn
and Mike
on David.
Are big against David.
Mostly, it's Mike and Michael turn on David at the drop of a hat.
But it's true. They'll turn on each other so quickly.
Yeah.
And gang up on each other. It's great.
Because David's losing his hair.
Is he?
I think so.
Oh,
I think
shit.
That's why they don't like him. Or because his name is David.
Probably because it's David.
Maybe he's not one. If they were all named Michael, they'd get along all the time.
Well, that'd be a terrible show. I wouldn't watch that.
Just like Dunkirk.
Just like Dunkirk, eh, old boy?
Once more into the fray. These guys are awful. We're in the West Wing now. They get a huge staff comes from nowhere stuffing their apartment.
Yep.
There's just like filing cabinets and Xerox machines everywhere. Like
phones ringing nonstop.
Yeah, like some stuff is happening all of a sudden. now there's a bustle surrounding them.
In their tiny little apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was a bustle before with the open heart surgery and all that, but I mean, this is more of a bustle.
But this is like a real newsroom type bustle.
So, yeah. So Black decides to run a smear campaign against Bob.
Yeah.
And does so by
By impugning his taste in motor scooters?
But yeah, his motor scooters, and because he wants to fix the roof instead of going a wicked trip to Hawaii.
Hawaii party.
To Hawaii.
Yeah, you want a Hawaii party or you want to fix the roof?
Do you want leaky ceilings or wow
is what you'll say when you get your luau wow. You'll get your lay wow. You'll get your lay at the lau wow, and yep. You'll say wow. And this lau wow is off the chain. I've been to a lot of lau wows. This lau wow is the piggiest and the pineappliest.
Whoa.
And the layest.
I like those things.
And the best. This lau wow.
I'm on board. Let's go.
This is a 5-star lau wow.
Where is it?
You'll never know because Bob Feldman or whatever wants to fix the fucking roof.
Oh, shit. Damn it. Well, my vote's for Michael Ian Black.
That's
obviously.
Right. That's right. That's right. He believes
and
in motor scooters.
Showalter is getting super fed up with David's interning. So much so that he'll freak out over whole milk in his coffee instead of 2%.
Yeah, splash him with the coffee, slap his face, kick him in the ass on the way out.
All kinds of things. And David's getting fed up with this, understandably.
They're just writing to act. Like, like Mike Show just wanted to do that scene, so he wrote that scene for himself.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I like that. I'd like to be, like, that's a nice power to have, to be like, hey, I want to do a scene. I'm going to write it. Do it.
And here we go.
Hey, what have I always wanted to do? I've always wanted to pretend I was a sniper in a ventilation shaft. Yep. So Bob gets to... convinces David to come over to his side, and then immediately
some Jew food.
Yeah, gives him Jew food, and then gives him a sniper rifle. Yep. Like immediately.
Well, that's how shit goes down.
Now that you've been fed, you've had my food. Take this rifle and do what you were born to do.
So yeah, David's a little.
He's getting
torn internally.
He's getting Manchurian candidated.
A little bit. And Showalter feels bad about how he's been treating David, so he decides to apologize and nonchalantly throws his sniper rifle clip towards him and apologizes in the most insincere way possible by starting off with like a surfer dude accent, which morphs into like a Canadian accent and then morphs back into like an Irish accent.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what he's saying sounds sincere, but the way he does it is just not sincere at all.
These guys have no character traits. Like, they're blank slates.
Right.
It's just like, hey, these things would be funnier if they were in a bunch of different voices, so we're going to do it that way, because all we're really trying to do here is make people laugh with absurdity.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, you know, it's a cartoon.
Pretty much.
I like it. I like it a lot. And for the record, John Boehner is that tan.
I bet. Well, yeah.
Michael Ian Black. We start seeing how tan
Michael Ian Black
is.
Well, they paint tan on him. He's so bronzed. Ugh. And then he whitens his teeth. He just looks like a nightmare. He
really does.
He looks like and a nightmare then, made of politics.
And then they get the reveal that he's wearing like a dress belly shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got like when, a tan line on his belly. And
when Show's trying to convince him to not be so mean to David.
Ugh.
And yeah, he even lowers his belt line a little bit just to make sure you see it. He wants you to see it so bad. So bad.
So then it's speech time.
Yep.
Candidates are running. And David's in the ventilation shaft with a sniper rifle. So Michael Ian Black comes out to give his speech.
He tries to, Show wants him to speak from the heart. But Mike's not going to do that. He's just going to speak... do his little building speech. So after the building speech, David shoots Michael.
David pops him
right in the chest. Just he like feels immediately feels horrible about it. But what can you do? He's done.
Just like Denzel Washington in The Manchurian Candidate,
or just like whoever
just
played
like Frank Sinatra in The Manchurian Candidate. Just like Albert Winters in the 1920 version of The Manchurian Candidate.
Just like the Manchurian Candidate.
Just like
book,
the Manchurian Candidate. Just like the Manchurian Candidate in that minstrel show in 1880.
Yep.
That was Clyde. That was Clyde Witherspoon.
But wait a minute. Oh. Michael's not dead.
Not dead.
What? Yeah, it turns out he had a robot.
Of course.
Made to look exactly like him. Which
is so convincing.
Super convincing. I mean, it looks like identical. I mean, if you look at it. And yeah. So it turns out Michael was tipped off about David's assassination by Sho because something that he said last night when Michael was eating some soup. But I mean, it sounds pretty obvious, but I don't know.
Yeah, are you enjoying that soup there, Michael? Yeah, you won't be saying that tomorrow when I kill you. I'm going to say tomorrow.
A little little mysterious.
Yeah. Little on nose. Maybe we should have, would have important to know that, about that there. But what's really important here is that David is down in the biggest duct in the world.
Hey, he ducts exist that big.
He could be standing in that duct.
In like paper mills or like lumber mills or something.
Yeah, not an apartment building.
No, not an apartment building.
Unless it's an apartment building for like...
cattle.
Giants.
Yeah, or giants.
Yeah. I guess if everybody was Hodor from Game of Thrones, we'd need some ventilation shafts like that.
Would you though? What would they need to go through the vents for?
You wouldn't. But if there was, you know, like Fraggle style giants, then you'd have some ventilation shafts like that.
For sure.
How about that? Is that a more appropriate reference for you, Sean?
I suppose.
Because I can dial the references in and out, you know, as I
please
wish.
Please dial them into childhood mode. So then the girls join them in the vent.
Yeah,
of course. Everything works out great.
Everyone's
Bob
in the
gets
vent.
Arrested. Michael.
Michael is
Black.
Offered resident board president by acclamation because of this arrest. And what does he do?
He declines it because he thinks friendship is more important. And ultimately it is. Friendship is more important than politics.
That's correct. Friendship is more important than politics.
And we learned an important lesson.
We did. We learned all sorts of lessons.
And it turns out Bob gets gang raped and stabbed to death in prison. So that sucks for him.
The point is, the guys are heroes again.
Yep. Everything worked out great.
Deus
the
ex
end.
Machina. Get used to it. So these, really in these first two episodes, we get introduced to these three characters, which, if you can call them that, they're force of nature cartoons that are barely differentiated from each other, but the key is that you got to have two or three of them in a room at a time, and then weird craziness will happen. That's all that's required. That's what this show is. It's these guys have this energy, and if you put them in a room with whatever, some stupid crap's going to happen, and weirdos
guaranteed.
Like us are going to enjoy it.
And we're going to laugh our faces off.
And it sets up a lot of these first two episodes set up a lot of the jokes that kind of are run through the course of the series. A lot of the language jokes, mustaches, obvious stunt replacements, low-quality practical effects. We don't have this money.
Did we get reading off the script yet?
No,
I
don't think so.
I don't even think that's in the TV show.
I'm not sure.
That should be, though. That's so funny.
Yay! We get some yay. We get
some
I know.
Yays.
I know. And yeah, so just we get a lot of those kind of things starting up, and that kind of continues throughout the show. I don't know, like, this is just... There's not a lot going on except weird comedy here. Like, I can understand how people would have encountered this on TV in 2005 and just been turned off. Or like,
oh, for sure.
The audience for it is so specific. It basically
so tiny,
is for comedy and media nerds only. Like, you have to be so deep into it to appreciate
it. And Comedy Central
is
only so big. I mean, so many people only have Comedy Central.
And it was being aired on television live. So it was a matter of like, okay, so when you have, like, yeah, since then, you know, obviously we learned that there's a...
It's like taken off.
Tim and Eric have an audience, you know?
Well,
like,
yeah, exactly.
There's audiences for things that are weird, and they can even have TV series. But, like, if it had come... Like, I can imagine if it had been 3 or 4 years later...
I was going to say...
All things staying the same, that Stella could have been an 11-minute Adult Swim show,
I was
going
to say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it could have thrived, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
And it essentially was, though. In Children's Hospital.
It was...
Children's
yeah,
Hospital
for sure.
is a...
That's true.
In a lot of ways, is a spiritual successor of Stella.
Definitely.
It definitely feels like a similar show. It's not, the jokes aren't as languagey, I think, necessarily, on Children's Hospital. Yeah. But the style is similar.
The style is very similar.
Like, you can definitely see the similarities between them. And that's, for of sure. course, due, I would say, in a large way to do to David Wayne.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, I mean, they kind of set up what this what we can kind of start to expect from the weirdness of this show. Light on plot, heavy on crazy, hilarity. Absurd jokes. And the jokes take all forms. It's not all just, like, talky jokes. There's a lot of jokes that are only visual. There's jokes that combine the kind of the talking and the visual. And I don't know. It's a fantastic show that holds up.
I think so, and I hope you agree and continue listening to the other episodes for this
Who's the MVP, show. Sean?
Damn it. I was hoping we could get off the air before you asked me that.
No. I'm going to hold you to it. There's really only three people to choose from in every episode of Stella.
It's true.
I'm going to give it to somebody else in another episode later down in the season. But
yeah.
But in this, these two...
I don't know. It's hard to pick.
You got to pick, buddy.
I'm going
to
go with... I'm going to go with Michael Ian Black
okay.
for this one.
Why?
Because of the whole campaign...
Yeah.
Thing. I thought he was really funny as like the candidate and going way overboard with the bronzer and and the whitener.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other episode, he's always like, you know, taunting Sho with calling him a crybaby and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
You know, I'm going to fight you over this one. I think it's Mike Sho.
What?
Yeah, Mike Sho has
got.
I'm going to give it to Mike Sho.
Okay.
Because Mike Sho is doing a lot of the. I think Mike Sho does more comedy in the campaign. I like that he's. I like when he's being accused of being a crybaby. Can we talk about this on the terrace?
Right.
Like, I like the way he delivers his lines. I like the way he seems to not see the sniper rifle and the. And the cash all over David's bed, and the way he morphs in between those voices so with such insincerity. Like,
that's true.
Nothing. Sincerity is a word that has no place in any scene of this show. This might be the least sincere show I've ever watched. Like,
no, Wonder Shows was pretty insincere.
This is on the same level of insincerity as Wonder Shows.
I suppose.
I would even say that Wonder Shosen was so insincere that it was sincere underneath that. Like it was
paradox.
So insincere that it was making a statement.
Right.
Whereas Stella is not making a statement at all. Like, you could argue, you could argue that Wonder Shosen had a point of view at least. That, like, ultimately it was a progressive show that was making fun of the anti-progressive in a lot of ways.
Right.
This show, you can't even say that. You can't,
I guess not,
like,
yeah.
What is this show about? It's not about anything. Like, I mean, I know maybe I will change my tune by the time we get to episode 10, but right now, based on my memory and these first two episodes, I'm thinking that we're not going to find that. You know,
probably not.
We're not going to find an arc in any of these characters.
No development.
Or plots or development. And we're not going to find, like, we'll find comedic themes.
Right.
That are consistent throughout. But we're not going to find, like, a message or, like, actual themes about, like, you know, I don't know. We probably have to start getting pretty, like, room 237 into the subtext to start really pretending this is, like, got some... deep messages to it.
Right.
Stanley Kubrick was trying to tell us that Stella blew up the moon in 1973.
Let's type that in Wingdings. Type in Kubrick and Wingdings, and it'll predict all of that.
Michael Ian Black killed Stanley Kubrick in 2001.
Or was it O.J. Simpson?
They
Nobody
sent Anakin
knows.
Skywalker to replace
Conspiracies.
Him.
Conspiracies.
So that's it for the first episode of Stella, Little Shows That Couldn't. The best podcast online about shows that lasted one season or fewer.
Except no substitutes.
That's right. littleshowspod.com, @littleshowspod on Twitter, at Sean Stewman on Twitter, at Brett Mad on Twitter, at Little Shows Pod on Instagram. We're all over the medias.
We're
Little
on Instagram
shows.
Now?
We're on Instagram.
Oh my
now.
God, you guys, get on that.
We've got, we're getting all the social medias pretty soon. Little Shows is going to have a LinkedIn where you'll be able to see all of our career accomplishments. All the different executive positions that the Little Shows podcast has held
the
over the years. The 15
podcasts we discontinued before we started this one.
Or whatever.
Or whatever.
So enjoy. Hit us up on iTunes. Check it out. Rate and review us if you like us. If you don't think we're worthy of 5 stars, don't review us. But let us know on Twitter how we could improve to 5 stars, and we'll take it under advisement. How about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
That sounds...
I'm willing to listen to criticism.
Yeah, sure. So check us out. Listen. I mean, if, I'm not going to tell you to listen. If you're hearing me,
yeah,
you're listening.
Listen already,
hey,
God damn it.
Hey, if you're listening, you should listen.
Hey.
Listen.
Hey.
Hey. And whatever it is, get out there and smell it.